dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti, and this is another episode of Brain Burrow. This is one of our digging deep sessions where we have a chance to talk to our guest. Our guest has a chance to explore their motivations, their fears, their values. And then you as a listener and viewer have a chance to say, how does this really apply to me? So I'm pleased to say that on the show today, I have Ms. Helen Larimore, and I'm going to hand it over to her by asking the big open-ended question, who exactly is Helen Larimore?
Helen Larimore is a weirdo who is a wax enthusiast by day and horror connoisseur by night, I guess would be the best way to describe me.
Well, that was a very succinct but yet cryptic answer. So it's an opportunity to kind of dig a little bit deeper into that. Where do we start? So let's talk about the weirdo comment. Like, talk to me about what does it mean to be a weirdo? Why do you choose that?
I feel like weirdos are people who are usually kind of obsessed with abnormal things, just into the things that are apparently not that normal. But I don't know, in a place like Los Angeles, I feel like I feel a little more normal here. And you can, you know, fly your freak flag pretty high here, be accepted, which is nice, you know.
So have you always lived in Los Angeles?
No, I'm from Chicago. So I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in suburban Illinois. I grew up in Joliet, Illinois, if you've ever heard of that. It's kind of famous for being kind of a weird place. It's where a very famous state prison is. There's a lot of weird serial killer history there, things like that. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of weirdos grow up in the Midwest, you know, and then venture out, which is, I'm one of those people that ventured my way to Los Angeles and Hollywood about 7 years ago.
Okay. 7 years ago. Interesting. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'm only familiar with a Joliet based on the Blues Brothers. Which obviously, the prison there.
That's the prison state.
It is. Still. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Interesting connection there. So 7 years ago. So what, I mean, at some point you had to make a decision where you'd pick up your stuff and move west to Los Angeles. Yeah. What prompted that?
I just always loved Los Angeles. I have some family out here I would visit, and I just really loved the vibe out here. It's got a nice kind of goth culture scene here. I got really lucky and I landed a job out here and was able to move out here. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be here a long time. I dig it.
Wow. It's very fantastic to hear that it's made such a positive impression on you.
Yeah.
So I think that leads to my next question about what exactly it is you're doing out there. I mean, you mentioned you're a wax enthusiast. I mean, that's not something that I typically hear. So what exactly does that mean and how does that apply to your everyday life?
So I do all the marketing for Madame Tussauds in Hollywood. So I oversee, you know, all of our product development, branding, everything, from everything from a little piece of wax to then an actual person or thing. And, it's really fun and amazing and I love it. And it's kind of perfect for a weirdo like me. So,
well, it seems like it. I mean, and obviously you embrace that designation as wax enthusiast, but I got to ask you, cause I don't know. I mean, so what all goes into your job? I mean, yeah, marketing. Okay. But you can be a marketer for all sorts of companies. I mean, how does,
right.
Yeah. So talk more about that.
A good example is the launch I'm working on right now. I'm totally going to plug myself, plug my episodes, but, I'm working on a really cool launch right now with Danny Trejo, Machete himself. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun and fascinating that, you know, it's a whole process that I get to be a part of. And, it was part of a pitch that I did and was like, Madame Tussauds Hollywood we need Danny Trejo. He is like Mr. LA. It would be iconic and amazing. And they listened to me, which was awesome. And we did our pitch and he was like, hell yes. And it was awesome. So, you know, from there, I helped organize a sitting. So we met him in person. We had a team from London fly out and they, to this day, they still do all of the same situations. So they do every single little measurement on them. Everything is hand sculpted still. It's just a really cool classic process that they've been doing for over 200 years. So We met with him. We did a sitting. We got all of his measurements. He was awesome. He brought donuts. It was great. And then from there, you know, me and my team, we were designing an entire like set and theme and campaign. And the other day I did a really cool promo video shoot with him where, and this whole shoot was came from my crazy brain, where I was like, let's do a promo video where we deliver the figure to Danny's house. And then he takes it on like a tour of Los Angeles before bringing it to the museum. And everybody's like, you're insane. That's like going to just be nuts. And I was like, we can do this. We can figure this out. We work on really tight budgets and whatnot. We did, we had a crew of like 10 people and we somehow knocked this out. We were able to put his figure in the back of a lowrider convertible. And Danny Trejo himself drove the figure. We went to his house. We delivered it to his house. We did this whole hilarious skit. And then he took the figure and we drove around Los Angeles one day. And I was hoping it would go viral. And a couple people did pick it up. I know like Weird Hollywood picked it up. And Secret Los Angeles picked it up. But just people like going down the street that day saw Danny Trejo driving down the street in a convertible with a replica of himself. And we're like, well, it does not get more Hollywood than that, does it? So that video is going to be part of the launch, which will happen at the end of October. And we're going to do an in-house launch here with him in person and invite media and everybody. But we're actually going to make a whole thing out of it with the video where we're inviting the public to come meet him in person and stuff. So that will happen. It'll be fun and wild and crazy, and then it will be launched, and that's what I do. I just come up with these crazy ideas and launch them and have fun, and can't believe that's my job.
So. I was gonna say, I mean, how often do people actually have so much crazy fun in their job? But apparently you do all the time. So Helen, what strikes me about that story is that the people you work with trust you, because you know they may have said right. So tell me, how did that happen, right? Because otherwise the people could say, okay, that's crazy, let's do something else. But the fact they're like, yeah, that's crazy, but let's do it. I mean, so yeah, how's that happen?
That's kind of what I'm famous for. It's usually like that's crazy, but it's Helen, so she's gonna do it. Whatever I say I'm gonna do, I do, you know. And I've done a lot of things like this. We did a really funny stunt with Jimmy Kimmel on his show, and that was just one of the many crazy little things that I worked on that, you know, people were like, is that really gonna work out? And it did. It ended up being their like most viewed video of the year for Jimmy Kimmel Live. It was and it all started with me saying we need to do a figure with Jimmy Kimmel and do a hilarious stunt and scare, you know. And wow, it took over a year for everything to come in fruition, the figure made and everything, and then we ended up doing that, and it was such a huge success, and they still constantly replay it all the time and stuff. So
wow,
I'm always doing quirky things like that. That's kind of my specialty, is just to do really bizarro things that I don't think a normal person would even think was possible. I have to say, it's not just me. I have this like insane team that is amazing. We have a really brilliant studio team here. That's part of it. It's like, you have to be working with the right people. You have to be working with people that you trust and have the same thoughts as you and are in agreement and you trust be able to knock this out. Cause I mean, the shoot that we did for Trejo was insane, and I was really nervous and really scared that it was just going to bomb, and everything went perfectly. And it was because, you know, I chose my crew. I knew who I could rely on, and the day actually went super smooth, which is crazy. I mean, can you imagine having to drive around? It was like 90 degrees that day too. We're driving with a wax figure down, you know, Santa Monica Boulevard. And it's just like, we were using drones and stuff, and it was just complete madness. We had like no permits. We were doing all of this, like totally like, or, you know, we were like, is that a cop? I don't know. But yeah, but we were like, we're going to do it. And we did. And it went great. It went smooth. And it's all about having just reliable people for sure.
Yeah. Well said, actually. And of course that sort of idea can apply to anywhere, not just for wax enthusiasts, obviously.
Yeah.
So totally. I definitely want to go back to that. But you also said something that I want to explore a little bit more. You said you're worried about it going to fail, right? Because you had a you seem like a very confident person, somebody who knows what she wants, who goes out and gets it. But yet you interjected that comment there that you're fearful in some ways. So where's that come from exactly?
Oh, Miss
Helen, you're very confident. Yeah. So talk about that.
No, I'm always like a bottle of like anxiety inside, like freaking out. Like, I'm like, oh my God, is this going to work? Are we going to fuck it up? But I think it's just that constant of that is what keeps me kind of organized and put together, is just always have in the back of your mind what could go wrong and just make sure it doesn't, you know, like you always have to be kind of like two steps ahead in everything you're doing. Especially in like your work life. Like if you're planning a big project, you just have to be, you know, and that comes with experience. You know, I have had things go to shit before. And so, you know, you're like, oh crap, we got to make sure that never happens again. So it's just learning and knowing like everything that could possibly go wrong, plan for and do your best to like hide it and be like, and make sure people didn't even realize that happened if it did.
Yeah, I think that's another great point, right? And as I mentioned, people listen to the show, watch the show saying, oh, she seems really confident, or he really has a lot of success at referring to guests, but yet I didn't know that they worry about these things. But you're really talking about have some level of a contingency planning, but don't get bogged down with the minutiae of every possible what if scenario.
Yeah, for
sure. So how do you do that? How do you balance, on one hand, not just blindly going into something saying everything's going to be perfect, but not on the other hand saying everything's going to fail. So you get somewhere in that sweet spot in the middle. How do you do that?
I don't know, man. I'm like, luck.
I would argue just it's really, more than luck.
Really good planning. I'm like a super organizer and super planner. Like I'm really anal about planning everything ahead of time and like just having it all like super bulleted and just having every little thing planned out and on paper, digital, everything. Like I'm that person.
Wow.
When you get to the site, it's like, I've already sent you a link with everything and a digital outline, but I'm also giving you like two printed copies. And I'm like, okay, do this time. Like,
wow.
You just have to like, timing is everything. You have to make sure you have everything. If you're doing a project that day, like especially a film shoot, you have to have that time perfectly and you have to stay on top of it. You cannot run over. That's probably one of the most important things I always stress to people on any kind of shoot, is you have to like really be strict on timing.
Interesting. Yeah. So the study of how we communicate through time is called chronemics, right? And it seems like that's something that you value very much.
Yeah.
So what happens if inevitably time does get screwed up, if people run over? I mean, what happens to you internally? And then how do you react to that?
Internally, I get annoyed. And then you got to cut something. Yeah. That's usually what happens, especially when you're working with A-list talent. The time is money. And, you know, these people that we work with, especially in our situation, the talent that we work with, they are all doing this for free. We do not pay them.
Oh, interesting.
That is part of the Madame Tussauds way. You know, it's an honor to get a figure. So any time we get with them is free. So the fact that Danny Trejo spent an entire day with us is so huge. And so I have to take that time very seriously. And I don't want him to see us like slacking off or just relaxing. It's like, no, we all have to be on our shit as fast as possible. And then let this man go back to his day, because he's not even getting paid to do this. He's, you know, and he was so professional and so fun and so positive. And we had him for like 8 hours that day. And we told him, we were like, it will be no more than 8 hours. And it was literally like 8 hours on the dot when we wrapped.
Wow.
But there were moments where when we were filming in the convertible, and we didn't get as many shots as we wanted, but we got some really solid shots, and you just have to swallow that. You're like, we got some good shots. We didn't get all the ones we wanted, but you know what? We have to cut on time. We have to make sure we get everything that we needed. So you just have to kind of pick and choose and make sure you get those top shots that you need. And then inevitably you almost always have to cut a few shots or sound bites or something, you know?
Right. Well, and that says a lot about you as a leader, because you really are a leader there, right? We're constantly paying attention to, as I said, chronemics, and deciding, you know, what can we do? What can we cut? How can we still make this work, but keep that 8 hours there? So, mm-hmm. And obviously you talk about you're reliable, the right team. How does that happen? I mean, how do people end up to a point where they look to you as a leader? I mean, you talk about trust. And I believe that you've built trust by following through with results. They say, all right, Helen's crazy ideas. She's done it before, so I trust her to do it again.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're new to this. So how are you able to establish your own trust then with this reliable team that you're talking about?
Right? I mean, I haven't really thought about that. I'm like, when was the moment they were like, oh, she knows what she's doing, you know? I mean, one of our first launches that we did is my favorite to this day, because it was my baby. It was for like a horror themed room. We never had horror at this particular attraction, and I thought that was insane. It's like, how can you not have horror at right. Madame Tussauds Hollywood Wax Museum, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were some classic horror figures in the Madame Tussauds estate, but they weren't here. And I don't know how I convinced them, because this was when I was kind of first starting with the company, but I convinced them. I was like, we need to bring them here. We need to launch a horror room in Hollywood. It'll be a huge hit. And I just provided a lot of different statistics and pages and, you know, really study our demographic audience and say, you know, there is a horror culture in Los Angeles, specifically Hollywood, and having that here will bring in people. Like it was crazy to me that it didn't. And they were open to it. So, and I mean, all the staff here was fully on board. They were like, yes, we've been wanting this forever. This would be awesome. You know, I had a lot of people that were like, yes, we've been wanting to do this, but I think it just took the right person to manage it. And they were like, oh, finally, we have someone that thoroughly understands the horror industry. So they trusted me with this. And we ended up just building out a whole new room. I worked really close with my studio team. Everyone was so passionate about it. We refurbished a bunch of old figures. We had Bela Lugosi as Dracula and Boris Karloff as the mummy and Frankenstein's monster. And then we built a bunch of really cool sets, like very like Instagrammable over the top sets. And this was way before people were doing this. It was just slowly starting to become a trend. This was three or four years ago now. And we built these over the top, really cool sets. We have like a room where it's just a sea of red balloons and you put on a yellow raincoat and you're supposed to be like it. And I just had all these crazy ideas and they all came to fruition. And then we ended up having this amazing, huge launch party. And it just had a bunch of cool, like horror celebrities here, you know, like Bill Moseley came, Corey Feldman, Sybil Danning. Like it was just it was a really like crazy variety of horror people, a lot of really like, you know, famous horror people in LA, different people from like Blumhouse to Universal to, you know, Midsummer Scream. You know, it's just, I had my people here and it went so well. Everyone said it was like one of the best parties they ever went to. And it was in the room turned out amazing. Figures, everything just came together perfectly. And everybody thought before then, they were like, this is crazy. Like, how are we going to knock this out? And we did it. That was like our first time our team really knocked out something big like that together. And it went perfectly and was so fun. And I think that was the moment they were like, okay, she knows what she's doing. Like, let's keep going with this. And from there we've had a ton of really awesome, successful launches and product. And it's been a wild ride. And we have basically almost all the same team too. So that says something too. Yeah. Like we don't, you know, it's all the same people that I've been with these last 4 years that I've been here. So that says something.
It does say something. It's in the business world, low turnover rate, right? I mean, you have people who stayed with you. Thanks for reliving that specifically, because you can tell even in you telling the story, how reminiscing about it was a very positive experience. And it sounds like it was a pretty cool, just a cool set. Is somebody able to look at that online, or do they have to actually visit Madame?
Just Google Illusions of Horror.
Oh, nice.
That was the name of the room, and a lot of fun stuff should come up. There's you can see above me, that's our mummy figure. So one of the pre-launch stunts that I did was I took the figures out to various places in LA and had that as like them arriving. So I took the mummy to like the famous pink wall. We took Bela Lugosi to like the Lachma statues at night. We took Frankenstein to the beach on a date. Like he was on like a date with a girl at the pier. Like we just did all this stuff. And it it was hilarious. And it was funny because I saw other people kind of copy that same, like, other times. And then I saw, like, different people making kind of more extreme horror sets after that. And it was just, it was cool. It was cool to see. We were like, okay, we're doing the right thing here. Like, I feel like people are kind of mimicking what we're doing right now, which was super flattering. And now I feel like that's like a big trend is like these extreme horror sets, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if we all had the same thought at the same time, but a part of me felt like I was like, I think I'm just influencing people with this yeah. set, which is what it was meant to do. So
that's right. Yeah. I mean, you executed on it. So obviously right. it sounds very successfully too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And obviously the theme, one of the themes, right, is that you're interjecting almost in a surreal way, these horror figures, but even Danny Trejo, right? It's like interjecting into normal, quote unquote, everyday life too. So that's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you this question. And by the way, thanks again for sharing about that. I had no idea about some of these things. And I'm definitely going to look this stuff up after this discussion. What is it that you think that most people misperceive about you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I come off as a bit intimidating. And people think I might be mean or, I don't know, like stern, but I'm actually like really nice and funny and friendly. So I think that might be one thing. I think it's probably because I'm a goth and I wear black all the time, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, that was very insightful. I know I, for one, was very intimidated by the emails you sent me. So that fits into that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I wasn't.
Right?
Yes, I was. It was so scary. No, but thank that. Yeah, that's interesting. And it's cool you have a handle on what people may misperceive about you. The other question I'd like to ask is, you know, kind of what gets you up out of bed in the morning? What motivates you? What drives Helen Larimore?
Two cats.
they literally get you up.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Just, you know, it's funny. Like if you ask me that question, like pre-pandemic, I'd probably have a different answer, you know, like it's, you think about that a lot. Like I'm really grateful to have a purpose, you know, like, there's a place I'm supposed to be every day and I enjoy going there and I enjoy being needed and appreciated. And so, you know, I'm really fortunate to have a job that I like and that I get to be creative. I mean, it's not easy. I don't have this perfect life. Like work is very stressful and crazy and I go out of my mind every day, but it's just nice to like have that purpose and still be able to be creative and be around people you like working with and just really proud of the things that you do. So, I mean, that's one of the things that gets me up every day is just having a purpose and all the cheesy stuff too. You know, I have friends, I have family, I have all those things. I have a lot of people in the world that care about me and I care about them. And that's, you just got to keep moving and keep being social. And I stress that a lot. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like pre-pandemic, I'm not as grateful as I am now for everything that I have. The fact that I have a job after a pandemic, you know, I lost my mom this year. It's been a crazy year. So it's like, I've become a lot more grateful for everything in my life, than I probably was about a year ago, you know, well, over a year ago now, cause we were in the shit a year ago. So,
yeah, true.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, obviously losing your mom has impacted you. So I'm sorry to hear that. But also it does sound like you had a lot of self-reflective moments and are really embracing that, attitude of gratitude, as they say.
Yeah, I know it's cheesy, but yeah, I mean, the museum was closed for that year and I was furloughed for most of the time. And, you know, it was just this constant, like, oh my God, like, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have to find a new job? Am I going to be able to stay in Los Angeles? Am I going to have to move back home? Like, you know, and it was terrifying and stressful. And a majority of us were there. And, you know, a lot of us are back at work and I'm just so grateful that I'm back and things are somewhat normal, if you want to call it that.
Sure. Right. Right. Yeah. But again, there's that gratitude coming through again. So I think that again says a lot. I guess the question I have about that then is, you know, obviously it was a stressful time. You mentioned, of course, you're constantly worried about time. You are worried about whether or not things are going to happen or not. What do you do with that stress?
I always say be active. Like you have to keep busy. You know, like I'm somebody who's had a lot of anxiety in my life. It's in, and having that year, especially to focus on like, how the hell do I get out of my head? Is I just tell people, I'm like, stay active, either that be going for a walk, either that be just talking to somebody, have a hobby, you know, like if you're an artist, paint, if you're a musician, play an instrument, like you just, you have to do anything other than just sitting and doing nothing. Because if you do that, then you're, first of all, you're gonna get nothing done. And second, you're just gonna, you know, eat yourself alive by just melting in your own misery. So I stay busy, you know, I'm either out in nature doing something, or I'm with my friends, or I'm, you know, discovering maybe some new music or something, but you have to stay busy. That's what I always tell people.
And that's fantastic advice. You know, truly, people kind of go into the downward spiral of depression whenever they stop doing the things they used to do. So what you're really talking about is do the things, maybe even if it's hard, that you used to do or you want to do just to keep active.
Yeah. And so, I feel like the past year has been the time a lot of people have done that, because they had that downtime and they kind of went back to the things that, like, when you become a grown up, there's so many things that you like stop doing that maybe you used to do when you were younger, you know, like maybe you used to play music, but you don't because you work so much now, or maybe you used to do art. And I feel like a lot of people are picking those things back up. And I love that. I love seeing so many people that I know, like picking up hobbies I didn't even know that they had before. I'm like, wait, you know how to like paint? And they're like, yeah, but I haven't done it in over 10 years. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, keep doing that. Yeah. Keep your brain active. And like, that really like keeps you motivated, even if it's crap and nobody's going to buy it. It's like, you're doing something and you're doing, you know, you're projecting yourself out there. And
yeah,
I don't know. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, well said. And again, it seems like you're very attuned to others and are focused on recognizing the things that make them happy as well.
Yeah.
So we are almost out of time. So I guess maybe one final question. What do you want people to walk away with after listening to this interview, after watching you in this interview? What do you want people to walk away with as far as taking away from this interview?
I don't know, just stay motivated, stay, you know, on some kind of path or track to being better and being more grateful. And if there's anything in life that you haven't accomplished yet, try, you know, like I've worked so hard for everything I have. And I've been in that place where you just think like, oh, I'm never going to do anything with my life. I'm never going to find a job I like or a place I like to live. And, you know, it's up to you to make that happen. So just keep working hard, just keep doing something, if anything, just to keep going and be creative and social, and you'll be okay. You know, just keep that brain active.
Love that. I love that sort of theme for this discussion. Keep that brain active.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you, Helen, for sharing your perspective today, answering my barrage of questions, but being able to really kind of dig deep within yourself and share about your experiences.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure.
Nice. I like your shirt, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could tell where it's from, I'm sure. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I saw a little, I was like, is it American Werewolf or is it Howling? I couldn't tell at first.
Yeah, that was, well, again, a true horror enthusiast would get that little piece of the puzzle and say, that's exactly what that is. So thanks for calling that out. Okay. So you say, yeah, Helen, I want to thank you, of course. And I want to thank the listeners and viewers for tuning in today to Brain Burrow. And on behalf of Helen Larimore, this is Mark DiValenti. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.